Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And a few things we want to talk about today. One is at the March for Life on Saturday, Colorado March for Life, when Columbine dad Brian Rohrbaugh mentioned a rapist and that we kill the baby of the rapist when his victim becomes pregnant. And he made the point that we should execute the rapist, love the baby, and execute the rapist. What liberals do is they kill the baby and they will love and understand and protect the rapist. And when Brian said that, there were people, of course, there who are against the death penalty. One person yelled out a very vulgar comment, the most vulgar comment possible, just cussed out loud at Brian. And others were upset. And so a little bit later in the show, after a couple other news stories, I want to talk a bit about the death penalty and why would it be, if you're a Christian, why would you support the death penalty? Well, maybe other than the fact that the Old Testament and the New Testament strongly support the death penalty. And we've got an article on this, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. And what's so fascinating is if you Google the words God, death penalty, if you Google those words, you get about 5.5 million web pages. And the number two out of 5.5 million, the number two is an article titled God's Justice and Ours. And it was written by Antonin Scalia, U.S. Supreme Court Justice. Antonin Scalia wrote an article in defense of the death penalty. And he actually quotes the Bible, Romans 13, 1 through 5. And out of 5.5 million web pages, that's number two. What's number one? Number one is our article, God and the Death Penalty, by Pastor Bob Enyart, posted on theologyonline.com. And we're so excited. And have you read that article? You need to. If you haven't, just Google God, death penalty, those three words, and you'll get 5.5 million hits, the pages, web pages, and that'll be number one. Okay. But before we get to that, let's see, we got a teenager who beat his grandmother, could have killed her, in Florida because he wanted $100 for beer and he didn't like her response. So we'll get to that and what happens when a culture doesn't understand how to run a criminal justice system. It destroys the whole culture. And just like around the world, where the world is mostly against the death penalty, and it's mostly for abortion. And as a general rule, there's an inverse relationship for countries, cultures that are against the death penalty, they support abortion. And when you're against abortion, typically you support the death penalty. Why? Because God said that you execute murderers. Why? Because we are made in God's image, and that's how you defend the sanctity of human life, by executing murderers. Okay. On Drudge, the Drudge Report yesterday, it's so funny. He had four articles about the weather. I don't know if he noticed a bit of tension between them. The one article is by Reuters. 2005 was the warmest year on record. So we have global warming, right? And then he had three other articles about how absolutely freezing cold it is all over the world. In the Czech Republic, they have a nuclear power plant that was affected by the cold. Reactor power was cut by 38%. And their power block was disconnected from the network for about 5 hours. Temperature hit record lows in some parts of the Czech Republic on Sunday night with minus 30 degrees Celsius registered. Now, that's not as bad Fahrenheit, right? 10 or so. Pushing the winter death toll to at least 12. Now, that's in the Czech Republic. How about this story? Rare Hawaii snowstorm closes volcano. Snowed in Hawaii. Rare event causes concern and surprise. Mauna Kea, Hawaii, officials closed the summit of Hawaii's Mauna Kea volcano to the public after a snowstorm shut down access. The heavy snowfall was a rare sight. But wait, let's go back to Europe. Deadly freeze claims more lives in Europe. And I got a book here. Can you hear it? Can you judge a book by its sound? It's called The Cooling. It was published by Prentice Hall 30 years ago. And the subtitle, "Has the Next Ice Age Already Begun? And Can We Survive It?" by Lowell Ponte. Are we entering a new ice age? Many scientists think so. And then the book, you know, quotes countless scientists, we might be entering a new ice age. Then by the 1990s, the ice age didn't materialize. So they said global warming is going to destroy our way of life. And the weather patterns vary. Over millennia, there have been times where it's been especially cold, times where it's been especially warm. So weather temperatures vary. What has it changed? About a degree, they think, in the last 100 years? We haven't even been measuring the global temperature accurately until the time of satellites. So they're not really sure. But maybe it's changed about a degree or so in the last century. Big deal. So this story, deadly freeze claims more lives in Europe. A glacial chill claimed more lives in across Eastern Europe, forcing schools to shut and disrupting public transport as cold cracked railroad rail lines. Man, that's cold. In Poland, a total of 39 people have died since a cold spell hit the country on Thursday, bringing to 161 who have died there this winter. Temperatures in the south of the country plunged to minus 31 degrees Fahrenheit. In the Baltic state of Estonia, three more deaths from cold were reported Tuesday. Meanwhile, blazes broke out in houses where residents attempted to melt frozen pipes with open fires. Now, when it's really cold out, you don't want to lose your home because it burned down. A passenger ferry from the western island of Vormsi to mainland Estonia, which usually takes 30 minutes. So a passenger ferry in Estonia usually takes 30 minutes to make the crossing, took 9 hours as the ship got stuck on Sunday in the frozen waters of the Baltic Sea. In Latvia, a country of just 2.3 million people, six more died between Monday night and Tuesday morning, police reported. In total, at least 40 have died there of the cold in the last week. So the warmest year on record, it's having a hard time maintaining its reputation. But global warming, it could be getting a little warmer. And 30 years ago, the cooling, has the next ice age begun? So I think we don't need to panic. All right, what else? Oh, got a wonderful email from the executive director of the Nehemiah Institute. You know who they are? That's the Worldview Group. They have tested 100,000 Christian teenagers, mostly teens, in Christian churches and Christian schools, youth groups, on their worldview to see how Christian are they in their belief system. And the results are just devastating, terrible. But Dan Smithwick, he watched our DVD, Focus on the Strategy. And this is what he wrote. He wrote a lengthy, wonderful email. I'll just read the first sentence. Bob Enyar, I watched your Focus on the Strategy presentation last evening. Bravo. I support your view entirely. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he pulled out specifically our material on homosexuality and that homosexuality should be a crime. And he pointed out that young people who think that homosexuality should be legal have an especially weak worldview. Those young people who think that homosexuality should be criminal have an especially high Christian worldview. So that's just the symptom, right? It's a symptom. And tragically, more and more our Christian leaders, our national Christian leaders, believe that homosexuality should be legal. Might be a sin, but they think it should be legal. After 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal precedent history, they think they agree with the humanist, Hollywood, Hillary, and the homosexuals that homosexuality, although it, maybe it's a sin, but it should be legal. And hence, we shouldn't be surprised to see that the Christian worldview of our national leaders has been weakening. That's just one symptom of it. Okay. So Brian Rohrbaugh was the featured speaker of the March for Life, Colorado's annual Colorado Right to Life March for Life at the Capitol. He spoke at the rally. Then there was a march through downtown Denver. And I'm really glad the march went down the 16th Street Mall because that's where people are. And many people got to see hundreds of signs against abortion and pictures of what abortion does to an unborn child. A guy ran out of Johnny Rockets, the cheeseburger joint, and he was in his chef's hat and his, I don't know if he's a chef or what, in his apron. He ran out to argue that abortion should be legal, and one of the women there, a Julie Huxford, she put him in his place very politely, and that ended the conversation. And as a woman, she was able to speak with a special force, and her points were especially strong, and praise the Lord, that went well. But anyway, so at his talk, Brian Rohrbaugh pointed out that commonly we kill the child at the drop of a hat for whatever reason. Inconvenient, if a rapist, if his victim becomes pregnant, then liberals will kill the baby and protect the rapist. And Brian simply made the point that we need to execute the rapist. We need to take the rapist and put him to death and protect the baby. And someone in the audience shouted a very vulgar cuss word at Brian. But thankfully, that was the last comment to that effect made. But then there were a number of people who were upset because quite a few Catholics are against the death penalty, and many Catholics are against abortion. So there's overlap in the pro-life community and the Catholic community. And while not all Catholics are against abortion, the Pope has been of late. And over time, it's my understanding, I grew up Catholic, went to 8 years Catholic grammar school and looked into this topic many years ago. But it's my recollection that the Catholic Church has gone back and forth on the issue of the death penalty, whereas the Bible states very clearly in the New Testament God's support for the death penalty. And when you're weak on the death penalty, you undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ because God the Father required the death penalty as the just punishment for man's sin. So, and also, it's not a coincidence that around the world, so many countries that are against the death penalty, think of all of Europe, right? They're against the death penalty, and they're radically pro-abortion. And those two positions are consistent. Why? Because you protect the innocent, and you kill the guilty. You protect the innocent, you punish the guilty. Let's go to the phones in Aurora, Colorado. Maureen, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Good day, Bob.
Thank you.
I tell you what, I listen to your show every day that I am home, and I am astounded at the intelligence that God has created in you.
Oh, you're too kind, Maureen.
I'm not, but I tell you what. Now comes the better part.
All right, go ahead, hit me with it.
The U.S. Constitution, you keep trashing it.
Yeah,
you're really mad at Thomas Jefferson. It is true, he is a deist, was a deist. But the other founding fathers were biblical scholars. They knew the scriptures. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, I have their writings in my home. If I could put them in your hands, You would think that the writers of the Constitution were Christians.
I've read a lot of what those guys have written. Maybe John Adams is my favorite of the founding fathers, but certainly nothing they wrote trumps the Bible. And the certainly nothing they wrote would trump the Bible.
Sir.
Right?
I interject here?
Yeah.
Please. I'm a Christian teacher in Christian schools for many years.
Yeah.
Now a teacher in a, pardon me, public school teaching little first graders to read, but anyway, so that they can read the scriptures later on. Anyway, John Adams wrote to his son, John Quincy Adams. I have his writings in my home. He wrote a commentary on the whole Bible when he was an ambassador all over the world. He wanted to be sure that his son understood the scriptures. He wrote a whole commentary, which you would love. He wrote to his son letters that expounded the whole scriptures.
I know that some of our founding fathers were Christians, some were not, but my argument is with
all of them were, except for Thomas Jefferson, and he didn't write the U.S. Constitution.
Maureen, they were not all Christians, right? We had hundreds of founding fathers. We had scores who were extremely involved in the founding documents of our country.
Who were they? Could you give me the names, please?
Well, no, I haven't memorized them. There's a Josiah Bartlett who signed the Declaration of Independence. We named my oldest son Josiah.
I have held the paper and ink in my hands in San Francisco in 1969.
Yeah.
The paper and ink of one Jedediah Morse.
Yeah.
Pastor. Do you know Jedediah Morse?
I know the
1779. I have held the paper and ink of a sermon he gave.
All right.
And it had probably 56 scriptures in it in which he was telling the people how they could scripturally correctly vote.
Okay. Now, Maureen.
Yes?
My argument is with the form of government that they gave us.
I know your argument is, and I want to tell you.
Do you know what it is? What's my primary criticism or some of my arguments to show that the Constitution is not a godly document, but it was a humanist document? What are my arguments?
That Thomas Jefferson was a deist.
He didn't write the Constitution.
No, he didn't.
No, he was the primary author of the Declaration. So, no, that's not one of my arguments against the Constitution.
Okay, I would like to hear your arguments, and I'll come back with you soon, because, sir, have you read the Federalist Papers?
I have, and most of the Anti-Federalist Papers. And I went through the Federalist Papers and marked their comments about democracy, because democracy was a politically correct— the political correctness movement of their day was democracy.
Democracy has never been a part of this thing. That can turn into mobocracy.
Maureen, right. Democracy is bad. Well, the House of Representatives, 1/6 of the federal government, per the Constitution, is democratic. Okay, the Founding Fathers knew that there were some problems with democracy, although it was the PC concept of their day. So they didn't exclude it totally from the Constitution. They limited it to 1/6 of the federal government. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Right? And that 1/6 was 1/2 of the legislative branch.
Mm-hmm.
So the people got to vote for the House of Representatives. The people were not supposed to vote for the Senate, right? You remember that part?
The states.
Yeah, the people did not get to vote for the senators.
Right.
And the people were not to vote for the president. And therefore, the unelected, democratically elected president would nominate justices for the judiciary branch, and the unelected senators would confirm or not. So that
I'm in total agreement with you on these points.
Yeah, this is simply
what you're getting at. It's the abortion thing, isn't it? And you are right.
Maureen, I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about the Constitution gave us 1/6 of the federal government to be democratic. Now, they shouldn't have done that. That in and of itself was a grave error, because God did not give people authority over the government, just like he didn't give children authority over their parents. Authority flows downhill, not uphill.
And but if you in give, Romans
13,
1 through 9, the government is to be a blessing to those who do well.
Yeah, right. The government is supposed
to. And when it goes astray, then what?
Then the people should obey God rather than man.
That's right.
Yeah. So now, Maureen.
Yes.
God, authority flows downhill from God. It doesn't flow uphill.
Mm-mm.
Children don't give their parents authority over
Mm-mm.
them.
Mm-mm.
The kids in the classroom don't give the teacher authority.
I'm teaching now.
And the people do not give the government authority over the people. To the extent that the people give the government authority over, to the extent that the people authorize the government, to that extent the people will decriminalize the wicked things they want to do. Murder, adultery, stealing. And so when our founding fathers gave the people a voice of government and authority in the House of Representatives, what they did was they took fire into their belly and they thought they wouldn't get burned. They started to dance with
I know that
a monster.
Scripture.
And what happened was that danger of democracy broke loose out of the bonds of the House of Representatives. And almost immediately, the people said, we're going to vote for president, too. And then the Constitution was amended because the people said, we're going to vote for the Senate, too. And for the most part now, you have states all over this country where people even vote for judges or to retain judges. And they vote on initiatives and direct ballot initiatives.
We had that in Colorado. Uh-huh.
So that we are moving to increasingly raw democracy.
Like old Greece.
Yeah, democracy is evil, and the reason
evil.
As a form of
really
government,
evil.
And the reason is Jesus told us that the majority are evil.
Mm-hmm.
So if majority rules is in your form of government,
I don't believe in the majority rule.
Now, but here's the way Christians finesse that. This is what Christians do. They say we're against democracy. We believe in a representative republic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those two are kissing cousins. They're almost the same thing. The only difference is this.
I don't see it that way.
Well, let me explain. In a raw democracy, if the people want to legalize abortion, then they vote on abortion, yay or nay, and they legalize it.
They have no say in the matter. God has the say.
No, in a democracy,
mm-hmm.
the people vote to do whatever they want to legalize. And if they want abortion, in a democracy, the people vote on abortion, yes or no, and they vote yes, we want to legalize abortion. That's a democracy. In our
have God's authority to do that.
That's one of the reasons why democracy is evil. The people should not have the notion that they can shape the laws or the government.
God has laid it down thousands of years ago.
All right, now let me explain.
Can't do that.
Maureen, let me explain now a republic. Let me explain a republic.
Mm-hmm.
In a representative republic, which you advocate, mm-hmm. if the people want to legalize abortion, they don't vote directly on abortion. They vote for Hillary Clinton. And she says, elect me and I'll legalize abortion. And we vote, a representative republic, and we get Supreme Court justices who are pro-abortion and senators who are pro-abortion. And we fill the government and the federal judiciary with pro-abortion judges.
I may interject here, your information regarding Judge Alito has been invaluable. I am going to fire off a letter to Colorado Springs and say, sir, to the person in Colorado Springs, you know who I'm speaking of, and I'm going to say, sir, before you pronounce on all these subjects, I would like you to get up to speed on Judge Alito's
his record.
Voting record.
Well, Maureen,
decisions.
We're almost out of time, but thank you very much, by the way, for bringing that topic up, too.
Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate your call. And I wanted to tell the audience real quickly at KGov, our website, KGOV.com, at the very top, the top link is the Samuel Alito report card. It's our KGov report card. It's extremely brief. It has the year of the decision, and what it is that Alito ruled, and it's just devastating. And each decision links to the original, to his opinion that he wrote. All right? So that's at KGov, KGOV.com. In Fort Collins, John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to make a quick comment about Mr. Rohrbaugh's comment that he made this past weekend at the march.
Yes. Were you there?
Yes, I was there.
From Fort Collins. Thank you for coming all that way.
Well, I kind of have a confession to make. When he made the remark about executing rapists, I shouted something out. And some people may consider it vulgar. I shouted out, amen.
Whoa, praise the Lord, John. You know, there were a lot of people who clapped and said amen, and that was encouraging to me.
Yeah. It's so discouraging when, especially within the Christian realm, when people are just misinformed and uneducated. And hopefully those who stand against the death penalty will become informed and educate themselves. I would suggest your article, God and the Death Penalty.
Yeah, and we've been telling people that we're so thrilled, if you Google God, Death Penalty, that out of 5.5 million web pages, it turns out that Antonin Scalia, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, wrote an article on God's justice and our justice, and his is number 2, and out of all those web pages, our article is number 1 on God and the Death Penalty, and we're just so thrilled about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Bob. God bless you.
Thanks, John, for shouting out something that some people would be offended at. Amen to Brian Rohrbaugh's comment that we should execute the rapist. Now, in the Bible doesn't say execute the rapist. It doesn't list every crime. It lists general principles that then you apply. And rape is a crime that includes the lesser crime of kidnapping. Rape, by definition, includes the lesser crime of kidnapping. The victim can't get away. So you have control of the physical person of your victim. And the penalty for kidnapping in Scripture is the death penalty. God said in Exodus chapter 21. So, God said this. He said, will you profane me, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live? That's pretty strong. God said, will you profane me by doing that? Don't do that. And then God made it so clear that we're made in his image. Therefore, he wants capital criminals put to death. We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great Christian school. Have you checked it out? It's really neat. Maranatha at 72nd and Oak in Arvada. And that's where Denver Bible Church meets. So visit us at 72nd and Oak at Maranatha.